Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Now, I am not reintroducing the idea of purgatory, but on the other hand, I do believe the baby was thrown out with the bathwater. With that came a belief, when you die, you're instantaneously and magically made perfect.
The soul of someone who dies immediately goes into eternity. There is no place where you make up for your sins. There is no purgatory. In the twinkling of an eye, we shall be changed.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Look! Look! The pendulum! It's swinging back. This is Wretched Radio. About which pendulum do I speak? It's the discernment pendulum. Let's let Time Magazine take us back 20, 25 years ago. You may recall it was the headline story. There is a resurgence of conservative Christianity in America. It's a force to be reckoned with. Conferences, movements, publishing. It was a thing, and Time Magazine recognized it, and we got on that roller coaster and we rode it with delight. Why? Because we were returning to the five solas. Topical preaching was going away. We were doing expository line-by-line preaching, and theology became a thing. It had been watered down, not everybody, of course, but it had been watered down really for decades in popular evangelicalism, and Time Magazine recognized something different is going on here. And along the way, the roller coaster took a dip. And it was the dip of, brace yourself for this, knowledge. You say, wait a second. Conservative Christianity and the resurgence thereof, it was about the intellect. Oh, I agree. We dug theology. We loved that stuff. We dove into it. And what happened? It appears the Bible is right again. That knowledge that we amassed puffed up. It inflated our opinion of what is right and wrong to the degree that we started to see little fissures inside of conservative Christianity. And those fissures, they turned into chasms. And over the years, we have seen a fracturing of conservative Christianity to the point that many of us are downright grieved. This is not the first time that we have discussed this subject here on Wretched Radio. Years ago, started recognizing, what exactly are we fighting about anyway? And it appears that we elevated non-essential doctrines to the level of essential. And we started to see this delightful movement that we were so enthralled with, not just fracture, but frankly, shatter. But I'm wondering if we're turning a page and we're seeing a new chapter. You see, as part of the conservative resurgence, discernment became a thing, rightly so. Because the more you know, the more you recognize what's wrong, the more you understand what's right. You got that straight line, the easier it is for you to recognize the crooked. And so we got pretty good at discerning. And then we got really good at discerning. Then we got extremely intense about discerning. And we became Berean Nazis. We started to criticize everything. And believe me, I love doing that because it's my spiritual gift. But it became harsh and divisive, antagonistic. And I think that now, as we arrive here in the year 2025, I think Time Magazine could write another article. Put a fork in it. It's done. Paul Washer and I spent some time together at the MacArthur Memorial. Paul Washer several times said to me, I think the movement is done.
Ooh. Ooh.
Paul Washer, he ain't no prophet, but he's pretty accurate in seeing trends come. And he made it very clear that he thought this is, it's done. But I'm wondering if the discernment pendulum is swinging back. The pendulum used to be way over on the liberal side. We just don't discern at all. Well, the pendulum started to swing back. We got good at it. We got too good at it. We got really hyper about it. And all of a sudden, we become censorious. But I think we have sufficient proof to suggest that the pendulum is about to swing back. Now, please note, as it does, if you are like me, and if you are, I'm really sorry for that, your immediate concern is, whoa, 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 that means the pendulum can swing back into liberal land where we don't discern at all. We have to be on guard for that. Because, if you will, the pendulum finds its rest in the middle. And that's the spot where we need to be. I'm not talking about the theological middle. I'm talking about having the right balance of discerning the essentials, even discerning the differences in secondary and tertiary doctrines, and discerning those who are outside of the camp. Now, I've seen this so many times. There will be a difference of opinion on a particular issue. And one group will say, oh, they've just got this horribly wrong. And then this group says, oh, they got it horribly wrong. But then if you ask them, so do you think they're heretics? Well, no. Okay, there's a good starting place. But instead of treating one another as brothers and sisters with theological distinctives, the pendulum swung way too far. But now I believe it's making a return back. How do I know this? Well, we did a video on the John MacArthur Memorial, and we talked about John Piper's presence, Alistair Begg's presence at that memorial, because I think it perplexed everybody, because it appeared to all of us that are just out here for years that there had been a separation. But that memorial revealed there hasn't been one. And those men remained dear friends. Those individuals were still talking to one another. Whoa, what are we to make of that? And I believe that that's one of the signs that maybe the pendulum is swinging back. John Piper's address, I think that he was actually seeking to make that point, not by punching anybody in the nose, but preaching a biblical ecumenism, that when our hearts are knit together, our hearts are, you know, knit together. And yeah, we can have differences of opinion on issues, but that doesn't mean that we are apart from one another. But that isn't the only sign, I think, that we might be seeing the discernment pendulum swinging back to a corrective center. The comments below the video that we put up, first of all, give or take 200,000 people watched it. I think last time I saw or heard about 1,500 comments. And while I didn't count them up, although Dalton, you could count them up and give us some scientific data, I would say that it was no doubt a majority, if not a plurality, if not the overwhelming majority were like, ah, good, because we've noticed that too. Now, well, maybe Dalton can take a look at those numbers and we can actually have some scientific data. How many people in response to a video that said, hey, it looks like we can have fellowship with some folks that heretofore we thought we couldn't. I think that data is instructive for us, that there are more people who have noticed we've overcorrected when it comes to discernment, and maybe now is the time to pull it back. Here is, I think, more evidence that we're seeing the pendulum swing back. From G3 Ministries, Scott Aniel. He's the new president, Grand Poobah, whatever his title is. He has been a part of the ministry for years, but now with the revelations that we all know about from G3, the leadership has changed. And Scott Aniel, I think, is clearly trying to steer that organization in a different direction. It is my opinion that prior to the revelations of the inner workings of G3, of which, by the way, Scott Aniel, Virgil Walker, they were simply not a part of it. I think that it's safe to say that G3 was one of the leaders in the discernment fracturing that we've seen. They have done tons of great work. And I believe with Scott at the helm, they are going to do more great work. And what Scott just wrote and put out for the world to read, I think is an indicator. He recognized it. And he's making a correct correction. That's right. I wrote that. A correct correction at G3. The article is titled Conviction and Charity. Ow, that's hard. I got the conviction part down. Charity. Many of us read, oh, liberal. But that's not actually what the word means. Scott Aniel unpacks exactly what he's talking about. And I think it is another example and demonstration. The pendulum is swinging back. This is Wretched Radio.
Okay, I'm going to admit it up front. I'm about to use every cheesy sales phrase in the book because, well, this time, they're actually true. The Fortis store is closing permanently, and we literally mean everything must go because after this month, there won't be a store. Presently, you're going to notice that we've slashed prices up to 75% off all physical inventory. That's books and booklets and DVDs and CDs. You know, the old-fashioned things you can actually hold without charging your battery. And at these prices, you're going to wonder if we've lost our minds. Spoiler alert, we haven't. We found our mission. Thanks to our incredible gospel partners, we're going to be making all of our digital resources completely free on Fortis Plus. Free, as in $0. But first, help us empty our shelves. You've got through the end of this month to take advantage of all of our physical inventory. After that, these resources are going to become collector's items. Visit FortisInstitute.org right now. Trust me, your future self is going to be grateful you didn't miss out on this wonderfully ridiculous clearance event going out of business sale or something. FortisInstitute.org.
Is it possible a Christian university can actually be ranked high when it comes to preparing students for the real world? Hat tip to Masters University. You want to send your kids someplace where they actually still teach the Bible? Not just based on a document that they maybe have in a file cabinet someplace, but they actually use the Bible there. The education at the Masters University, not only biblical, but oh so practical. Courses, diplomas, degrees, they can be achieved online or, of course, on their beautiful campus in Southern California. Would you like to learn more about the Masters University to prepare you or your child for the future? I encourage you to visit masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
You know what's frustrating? Reading about the Holy Spirit and still not really understanding how He works in your life. I mean, you want to understand, right? But it just feels so unclear. Well, here's something that's going to help. Fortis Institute fellow Dr. John Krotz is going to be coming to the Wretched Studios on Saturday, August 30th. He's going to be doing 6 sessions on the Holy Spirit. Like, how do you know when the Spirit is leading you? Or how does the Spirit help you deal with sin? What does it mean to be adopted by God? Look, if you've ever wondered about this stuff, this is your chance to finally get clear answers from someone who really knows the Bible. Coming up Saturday, August 30th, 8:30 in the morning is what time it's going to get underway and start. You can be here, you can be a part of it, absolutely free, but space is limited. So go to FortisInstitute.org/Holy Spirit right now as quick as possible and get signed up because the limited spaces will fill up fast. FortisInstitute.org/Holy Spirit. Trust me, you'll be glad that you went.
Know your church fathers. Ignatius of Antioch was a disciple of Peter and John and the Bishop of Antioch. He was arrested and sentenced to die in the Roman arena. As he prepared to go to his death, Ignatius said, "Let fire and cross, flocks of beasts, broken bones, and dismemberment come upon me, so long as I attain to Jesus Christ."
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Is it time for conviction and charity? This is Wretched Radio. Let's dive in to Scott Aniel's article from G3 Ministries calling for both conviction, a closed hand, and charity, an open hand. Many of us, we got the closed hand thing down. That's my bent. I freely admit it. I'm right. Anybody else that doesn't agree is flat out wrong. And I'm really skeptical. And if we were going to have fellowship, I'd have to have a clothespin on my nose. That's kind of the way some of us, especially me, are built. And Aniel is reminding us, hey, there's stuff where we can be open-handed. And I think this article is a demonstration that G3 Ministries is on the course to being much healthier and perhaps, possibly, more beneficial to the body than ever before. And believe me, G3 has been beneficial to the body. I think that they have an opportunity with Scott at the helm to really help local pastors and local churches, because that's where it's at, Daddy-O. It's the local church. If the conservative movement is fracturing and becoming weaker, then let the local churches become stronger, because that's what national ministries should be about. Not growing in strength for itself. That is abiblical. We are to be not just parachurch, but as Scott calls it, sub-church, underneath the church, building up the church. So let's let Scott Aniel perhaps encourage us to have conviction and charity. From the article, if you've spent any amount of time in serious theological conversations, especially in the digital town square of our day, you have felt the heat, haven't we all? A discussion about a finer point of doctrine begun in earnest can quickly devolve into a battlefront. Lines are drawn, motives are questioned, and brothers in Christ who agree on 95% of the faith can begin to treat one another as adversaries over the remaining 5%. Here's a great line. The light of fellowship flickers under the heat of argument, and our shared witness is often dimmed in the process. CRT is designed to fracture and divide. And guess what? It has succeeded in our circles. And what has it accomplished? Well, exactly what Aniel is saying, that our correct biblical unity should produce. That the heat of argument, our shared witness, is often dimmed in the process. The world should see, okay, those people, they don't go to the same church. They don't have exactly the same beliefs on everything, but wow, look at, they love one another. Is that the impression that the world would get from a lot of our online discussions? Is it time for us to turn the page? Now, I'm not saying we throw out our convictions. That's Scott's point. I am saying we hold on to our convictions in one hand, but we recognize there are other theological issues that can be held in an open hand. Back to G3. We've all seen it. We've all, if we're honest, likely participated in it. Yep, it's so easy to do. This is why we got to help one another on this deal. I personally think I do it perfectly every time. Well, because it's me. Of course, then you don't understand why I said it or did it or talked about this guy or that guy. We've been trying to follow rules of discernment here for well over a decade. Do we always hit the mark? Of course not. That's why I need you to lovingly correct me, and I'll try to do the same for you. This incidentally doesn't mean that there are never any public videos calling out a false teacher, but come on, there's a difference, isn't there, between, I don't know, say, Ken Copeland and pretty much anybody in our circle. So we're going to keep discerning. We just need to do it a little betterer. Back to Scott. In the age of this theological resurgence, where more believers than ever are rediscovering the riches of Scripture and the historic confessions of the faith, our zeal for truth can sometimes outpace our cultivation of charity. We rightly desire to be Bereans, searching the scriptures daily. But we can wrongly become Christians, declaring, I follow Paul, I follow Apollos, I follow Cephas, I follow Christ, I follow, fill in the blank with your favorite, you got one, you got one. And you've also got some that you would say, not a chance. But some of these not a chance ministries are orthodox, small o, orthodox. They're sound in the faith. And while you might not attend that conference, while you might not consume the materials they produce, that doesn't mean that we need to divide from them or speak disparagingly about them. There's a reason I think the pendulum swung too far, backwards, forwards, and it's a hard issue. It's hard. It's discernment is in child's play. It ain't easy to get it right all the time, which is why, again, we need one another, which even means that if you're listening to this or you're watching this and you disagree, okay, share it as if we're brothers, as if we're a brother and a sister. We're talking about a climate change here. We're not talking about giving up on our theology. We're talking about our tenor and our tone and our temperature. That could preach in any Southern Baptist church right there. Back to Scott Aniel, who wrote, the purpose of Conviction and Charity, that's going to be their new series, is not to flatten the beautiful rugged terrain of Scripture into a featureless plane of theological indifference. It is not to suggest that all doctrines are of equal weight, or that our conclusions on these matters are of no consequence. God forbid. Rather, the goal is to model a way forward, a way of dialogue that takes both truth and love with the utmost seriousness. It's an attempt to put into practice the apostles' command to be eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, even as we engage in the rigorous work of understanding His word more perfectly. Isn't that what we're supposed to be doing? We're trying to understand God better by rightly dividing His word better. That's a different task than just debating with a brother. We should be like, okay, you've got your tools, I got my tools. Let's dive into this together and let's work through it. Hey, bro, now you think this about eternal sonship. Did you ever consider this? How do you see this in light of that verse? We should be doing that. We must be doing that. But that is a radically different task than, okay, Pally boy, Mr. Pally boy, you got this wrong. You don't know what you're talking about. No, this verse doesn't mean that. And it becomes so combative. That ought not to be the way. So the series, Conviction and Charity, will not be about first-tier doctrines. We're not going to debate those. Fist is closed. We're not going to be debating first-tier doctrines. We will not be debating the Trinity, the deity of Christ, etc. Instead, we'll be exploring what many have called second-tier or secondary doctrines. These are not unimportant issues because they're in the Bible. They are worthy of our most careful study. However, they're issues where Bible-believing, gospel-cherishing, God-fearing Christians have studied the same scriptures and arrived at different conclusions. To G3 and Scott Aniel, I say salute. And I also say, this is a very big sign. The pendulum is moving back. Let's not let it swing into the land of liberalism. But perhaps it's time for all of us, and I think the majority of us, to say, we're going to do better this round. We've seen the passing of greats, Sproul and MacArthur, whom, incidentally, they were able to function on this level. Presbyterian and a Baptist getting along. Let's take that cue and let's turn a page and let's run with it. And perhaps this test will help you to determine how it is that you should engage with somebody with whom you have a disagreement. Please note, I have no problems calling out Benny Hinn and saying that he's a scoundrel. He's horrible for the body. He's downright criminal. No problem with that, as long as my heart isn't filled with animosity toward the man. We're not going to stop doing that. So don't think that this throws out all the discernment baby with the bathwater, but this is a test. Let's just say there's somebody online or somebody to conference with whom you disagree. And lo and behold, you find yourselves on a boat that hits an iceberg and you swim to an island. Don't ask me to make sense of the iceberg and island existing in the same swimming distance. The point is you're on an island with that guy with whom you disagreed. You're going to fellowship with your only other believer with whom you disagree on a secondary or tertiary issue? That is the test. This is Wretched Radio.